What are you looking for?
Have you lost something?
You've lost something.
I've lost something.
I've lost lots of things.
Can you still hear them?
Time is an obstructing surface.
So is misunderstanding, knowledge, changes in weather,
natural disasters, secrets.
You still hear them, though. The voices,
they linger.
The voices of all,
the voices
that's,
of
never,
all
really
that's never really lost.
From Ovid's Metamorphosis, Book 3.
The story of Echo's unrequited love for Narcissus.
Narcissus was going about his own business, hunting, which was pretty much all he did those days, when Echo saw him, and the nymph thought, holy fuck, goddamn.
Wow, what a specimen.
She wasn't just a voice back then.
She still had her shining hair and all the curves in the right places,
which she took a lot of pride in.
Echo never learned to keep her mouth shut when someone else spoke,
nor could she break the silence herself first.
All she ever managed to do was repeat the last few of someone else's words.
She wasn't always like that, though.
Juno had made her that way out of spite.
As a punishment.
Because the chatterbox had kept distracting her with annoying,
incessant small talks.
When Juno was on her very important missions of catching her husband, Jupiter, and the act of fornicating with a bunch of sluts,
mountain nymphs,
who should have known better.
So, when the goddess queen finally figured out what was going on,
she was like, that tricky, tricky tongue of yours.
How about a really mean curse? You kind of totally deserved it.
And that was how Echo lost her abilities to have a legit conversation ever again.
Now back to Narcissus, who was creeping behind Bambi.
While Echo was creeping behind our gorgeous boy wonder.
Flustered and feeling all the feelings triggered by this thing called infatuation, like,
was there smoke coming out of her ears? There better not be smoke coming out of her ears.
In her head, Echo was making a whopping list of pickup lines and words of affection.
She'd kill.
She longed to say even just one of those things to Narcissus.
But since her voice no longer belonged to her heart's desires,
Echo had to wait.
And wait.
And wait.
And wait.
And wait.
For a chance to speak her thoughts.
By repeating someone else's.
Now, Echo's romantic fantasy seemed
not altogether impossible, because Narcissus had been lost for a while.
And was starting to feel a little agitated, or even a little scared.
He could use some companionship, especially when his so-called bros for life were nowhere to be seen.
So finally, in his most casual tone, Narcissus called out, "Is anybody here?"
Echo was ecstatic, obviously.
He or she answered in the same super cash tone.
"Come over here! Over here!"
Narcissus was confused. Why wouldn't he be? Some strange fellow was answering to him, yet somehow refused to show their face.
But the voice sounded harmless, so Narcissus called out again.
"Come out so we can see each other."
That was music to her ears.
"See each
Echo
other."
Echo called out as she ran to him with open arms from behind a tree where she'd been hiding and shaking with excitement.
Needless to say, that was not what Narcissus had expected.
He startled away.
"Stay away from me, you nympho. I will never let you touch me."
"Touch me."
Her response was desperate,
but it made no difference to Narcissus.
He kept running until he was completely out of sight.
Echo was sad and ashamed.
She was still in love with him, though. The idea of him,
even after such a profound rejection.
She hid herself in the woods and dark caves until finally
her body turned to dust and her bones to stones.
No one's seen her again since.
All that's left was her voice.
He lived on
in the woods and dark caves.
You've heard it.
You've heard it.
You've heard it.